is speaking something into my spirit, into my heart today about getting out the boat, which really speaks to getting out of your comfort zone. I really believe that the earth is underneath a shaking right now via Holy Spirit. It is happening in our world. It is happening in our region. It is happening in our city, and it is with intent. Yes, God is control, no question, without a doubt about that, but I believe that we have been in a place of comfort too long. Oh, my, it's going to be quiet. It's going to be quiet during this one. We've been in a place of comfort too long, and for God to get us out a place of comfort, he's got to shake things up. If things are being shaken up in your life, God is trying to get your attention, because I really believe that there is something on the horizon moving and shaking around you. Most people in the room like comfort. Anybody like comfort? Can y'all just be honest? Anybody like comfort? Anybody like their ducks in a row? You like your ducks in a row. You don't like stuff being out of juncture. You kind of like knowing what's up next. You kind of like anticipating what's going to come up next. But I really believe that we are in a shakening season. This whole series has been about what I really believe God is doing at this season in this life, and I'm gonna start the same thing in July when I start a new series on next week. Understand this, comfort is the enemy of warfare. Comfort is the enemy of warfare. And if you don't realize and you don't think you at war, you missing this thing right now. You are missing it. You are at war. We are at war. There is a spiritual battle happening in our country and in our world right now. It is no time to be relaxing, to be chilling, to not be praying, to not be seeking. I'm talking about those of you who know God. Those of you who know God, it is time for us to stand up and to stand sturdy on what we believe that God is doing in this season. 1 Peter speaks to it so beautifully. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he says these three beautiful words. I'm sorry, four. He says, stay alert. That's how we start. He says, stay alert. And in the second two, he says, watch out. Stay alert. Wake up. Don't fall asleep. This is the wrong time to fall asleep. I'm talking more in the spirit than in the natural. Hopefully you're not sleeping in the natural either. But this is no time to be sleeping. Your spirit has to be alert right now. Watch out. Why? Because your great enemy, who? The devil. Yeah. First of all, you recognize who your enemy is. Recognize your enemy is not anybody walking in the grocery store. It's not anybody that you're tweeting or anybody that's sending you messages. Your enemy is the devil. Okay? Your enemy is the devil. What does he do? He prowls around like a roaring lion, what? Looking for someone to devour, basically looking for somebody who looks to be weak. But then 1 Peter tells us, watch this, stand firm. Somebody say stand firm. Stand firm against him and do what, Pastor? Be strong in your what? In your faith, in what you believe. Be strong in what you believe. Okay? All it takes is a little bit of faith. That's it. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a grain of a mustard seed, it don't take this big supernatural, off the chain faith, this, that. No, whatever you have, Peter tells us, stand firm in it. Don't let nobody move you off your faith. Don't let nobody move you off of what you believe. When you have experienced the goodness of God, don't let nobody try to literally trick you out of God can't do that, or that wasn't God. Or please don't allow people to tell you lucky. Don't sit up here and tell these graduates, were you lucky? No, look, I was up all night studying. I've been in a place of discomfort for the last number of years. Simply why? Because I'm trying to be, anytime you're trying to obtain some level of promotion, it brings upon a discomfort. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Watch this. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, 10. There it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? Your might. Whose might? His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do what now? Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against what? But against what? Against powers. Against of this age. But don't miss that. Don't miss that. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, against spiritual wickedness. And the Bible says of this age. Of this age. Of 2020. This is a different level of spiritual warfare. Hear me, everybody. You're wrestling against the spiritual wickedness and the spiritual powers of this age, which means that you've got to be sharp. This is why 1 Peter tells us, be strong, be alert. In other words, keep up. Oh, my gosh. You got to keep up. You got to, listen, no, you can't pray 1995 prayers anymore. Come on, somebody. No, you can't pray 2,000 prayers anymore. Year of 2,000. No. No, baby, we in 2020 now. We have advanced 20 years since, and you cannot get stuck. Well, I had my greatest breakthrough back there in 2005. Praise the Lord you did. But you got to believe God for fresh revelation in 2020. Why? Because the tactics of the enemy have changed. Oh, my goodness. He's coming a different way. He's coming a different measure. He's using different people. Oh, my gosh. And if he's using different people, you got to step your game up. Oh, my Lord. Alino, somebody say, step your game up. You got to step your game up. You're fighting an old war. You got to sharpen your tools. Now, the Ephesians 6 tools, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with gospel, sword of the spirit. No, those are things that, those are timeless. But what you need is today's strategy. Oh, my gosh. I need strategy from God for today. I need to know how God is moving right now, today. I didn't even know how the enemy is trying to literally attack me today. Because he's coming a different way than he came 10 years ago. He's using it. Why? Because, see, when I one-up him, he tries to come another way. Oh, my Lord. When I one-up him, meaning, man, I get a hold of which way he's coming. So then I get a hold of that, so then he can't hit me with that no more. So then what the enemy does is he'll try to hit me with something else. But what we as believers, we got to stay ahead of the enemy so you know which way he's coming and how he's coming. Steve Witt released a prophecy, I think, 20 years ago that talked about the coronavirus. 20 years ago, I think he released it in 1999. And he was talking about a virus coming out of China. I know that's alleged. But he was talking about it 20 years ago. So what is God about? God is about giving us an edge. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Would you stop feeling like you behind? And would you use the fact that God has given you the ability to get ahead? You've got an edge on the tactics of the enemy. Oh, my gosh. You can defeat every ploy and plan that the devil is trying to plan for your life right now because you have an edge in the kingdom of God. Somebody say, I got an edge. Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Now, he's going over to the Sea of Galilee. Here it is on the boat. He has 12. He says, listen, everybody in the boat, y'all about to go over to the other side? This seems to be about a 13-mile ride from start to finish. The Bible says he sells them to go. Now, you need to know on this boat, it's very, very important. He's got four skilled fishermen on this boat. Four skilled. Peter, James, Andrew, John. These are some bad boys. Skilled fishermen, meaning they know what they're doing. Not only do they know what they're doing as far as fishing is concerned, they have a familiarity with boats and storms. Going somewhere now. I'm going somewhere. So here it is. Jesus, with intent, puts people on a boat, tells them, he says, get on the boat. I need you to go on the other side while he goes alone to pray. He knows on that boat will be some who are skilled and some who are not as skilled. He puts on the boat those who have, watch this, I haven't even got to the text of the script yet. He puts people on the boat, watch this, who have been in a storm before. Because fishermen who are as skilled as these men fished in all types of conditions. There's something about having experienced turmoil that makes you stronger. Boy, we try to avoid turmoil at every turn. But there's something that God uses within turmoil that sharpens us. Am I talking to anybody in this place today? But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Watch this. Tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Basically, that means that the wind was pressing against their destination. You ever had anything press against your destination? The wind was contrary, meaning they were going one direction, but the wind was trying to push them back another direction. You ever had a destination that you could see but you couldn't get to? Wondering what the delay was, and watch this, they're literally tossed by the waves because of this wind. The disciples, again, some notes on the side here. The disciples were, as some of you are today, the disciples were, watch this, they were thrown off course. What happens in life sometimes? Sometimes you're thrown off course. Have you ever felt like you were thrown off course? Have you ever felt like, man, like what in the world is going on? It just seems like I was headed one way, and it seems like, you know, I don't think there's anything worse. If you ever driven in Pittsburgh before, if you ever been in Pittsburgh, you know the feeling of seeing something that you know you want to get to, but everything's a one way, and you can't go that way, and so you're trying to go another way, and I don't think there's anything more frustrating than seeing something but can't get to it. Or realizing that you can get to it, but the destination for you to get to it has changed a little bit. So you have to ask yourself some questions, and I have them pinned for you right here. It says, number one, what's at the root of your resistance? What's at the root of it? Could it be you? Could it be that you're getting in your own way? Could it be that it's easier to blame other people than to take responsibility for the decisions that you made? Oh, boy, it's awfully quiet. I got folk looking at me cross-eyed right now. What's the root? What is the root of your resistance? It's one of the things that you have to evaluate deeply. Let me ask you this question. Could your present destination lead to devastation? Could your present destination, the way that me growing up, you know, you'd be on a certain pathway, and my mom might throw a little sidebar at me and say, okay, now you keep that up now. You're going to end up bump, bump, bump. At the pace that you're going, this is not going to end up good. See, you got to understand, unless you make radical decisions, the devastating tour and path that you on will end up disastrous unless you make a radical decision to change your course. And sometimes God will do you a favor and throw a windstorm out there. Oh my gosh. And God, listen, God has protected you from most stuff than you can imagine. There are destinations that you wanted to get to that would have ended up disastrous. See, I know I got a few people in here that are thanking God they didn't marry so-and-so. Oh, okay. The rest of you don't want to clap. I understand. Who's in control? Again, questions for you. Who's in control, everybody? Who's in control? Is it my emotion or is it my devotion? Big. Who's in control? Because what? Because somebody's, when you're on course and things are coming at you, your emotional space can take you to a place that'll really pin you into a melancholy place. And your emotions, because your emotions deal with the soulless realm. Your emotions can lie to you. So you got to be very careful about, so you can't, are you a person that is led emotionally, or is your devotion lead you? Your time with God. What is God saying? How is God saying it? What is God up to? How is God navigating this next space, in this next place in my life? I want to give you these mental mountains to break through. They're mental mountains. We all deal with them, and we got to deal with them on a daily basis. Mental mountains to break through. Number one, you have to ask yourself, okay, these are questions. Am I equipped for this test? Am I equipped? Do I have what it takes to navigate my way through this test? 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is given by God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why, Pastor? So that the man of God may be what? Complete. Here it is, everybody. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. The more you know your Bible, the more equipment you have. And you need equipment in this lifetime. And I've told you Sunday after Sunday, I cannot give you enough equipment just on a Sunday morning. So you've got to have a lifestyle of equipping yourself. Let me say that again. You got to have a lifestyle of equipping yourself. You need equipment every single day. And let me tell you, let me say this once again. You are at war. You are in a spiritual war. And you do not go out into a spiritual war without the proper equipment. And this battle is rough. Listen, I played football 15 years all the way through college. Never did I run out the locker room without my equipment on. Never. Why? Because everybody else had equipment on and they were trying to hit me. So I needed to protect myself. So you have to have the equipment. Why? So that you're ready for battle. I'm convinced a part of what has happened in the church is that, and it's a spirit, but we're going to deal with it and we're going to break it. It's the spirit of laziness. It's just the spirit of laziness. People don't want to pray. They don't want to seek God. They don't want to fast. They don't want to decree and declare. You just want microwave stuff. You just want to put in the microwave and expect it to happen. No. No, this time comes out, but what, by fasting and prayer, as Jesus said. This is a day and a time and a season that you got to be ready for warfare. We got to stand up. We got to bond together, and we got to believe God for tremendous breakthrough. But that breakthrough doesn't just happen. Oh, it's awfully quiet in this place right now. It's awfully quiet. Am I equipped for this test? Number two, shall I reroute? Shall I reroute? These are questions that you ask yourself, like, man, am I equipped for this test, man? I'm dealing with these issues and these problems. It's like these winds and these waves are banging up against my destination. I'm trying to do this, trying to do that. This is coming against me. This person is coming against me. This issue is coming against me. It's like all hell is breaking loose. Am I talking to anybody? Have anybody ever felt like that? Like, my God, did the bowels of hell just open up over my life? Like, my God, like everything is coming at me. And here's the thing about it. It seemingly comes at the same time. Shall I reroute? Judges 6:13, Gideon is talking to the Lord. He asks the Lord, he says, why has all this happened to us and where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, that's good, everybody, because this is something that sometimes we say about all the goodness that God will give unto us. So, oh, God can do this, and God will open this door, and God will do this. And so Gideon is having the same conversation. He says, where's all the miracles at? He said, didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to me? Don't you raise your hand? But some people in this building have felt like that before. You have felt like God has abandoned you at your most poignant season of your life. You're like, God, where are you? This is what Gideon was going to. And then the Lord said to Gideon, he said, listen, go with the strength you have and rescue the Midianites. He says, I am sending you. Meaning, listen, you ain't got to be Superman or Superwoman. Just go with whatever you have. Whatever you got left, go with it. Somebody say, go with it. You tired, you weary. Listen, just go with what you have. That's it. That's it. Well, Pastor, I've been praying. I've been seeking God. I've been praying about this for the last 5 years. Okay, well, listen, make it 5 years in a day. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. See, I need at least five people that have prayed for something long term, and they have watched God fulfill what they prayed for. Is there anybody in here who would not keep praying, who would not keep decreeing, who would not keep seeking God? I'm a living testimony of that. No, you keep, no, until when? Until you get the breakthrough, you keep praying. You keep believing God for it. You don't let nothing else get in your way. And there are some people, I don't know who I'm talking to, there's some people that you got to leave for a season. Because they are disrupting your ability to believe God for favor, for blessings in your life. Listen, you can love them, but sometimes you got to love them from afar. You say, you know what? I'll be back after I make it out of this season. But right now, you're disrupting my flow. Number three, should I return? Should I return? Should I go back, Lord? I know you sent me on this journey. I'm so proud of these graduates because that's a journey, especially when you get to college and master's and things like that. Man, that's a major journey. When you get to this place, you say, well, should I return? Because you start going through issues and problems of life. Should I return? I think it's something that we ask ourselves. Isaiah 55 and 11 speaks to it beautifully. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me what? That means unaccomplished. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall do what? It shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. God's word has an identity on it to prosper in the thing to which he sent it to. Let's get back to Matthew 14, and we're going to verse 25. It says, now in the fourth watch, I talked to you about this earlier, of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. The fourth watch between 3 and 6 a.m., the darkest time of the night. This is specific when Jesus went. Why? Because this really creates a parallel to Exodus 12 and 14. Because it speaks to the breaking of slavery and bondage. So it was with intent that Jesus came to the disciples walking. Hear me, you all. Don't just read the Bible as a storybook. I want you to dive in and understand that there are specificities on when and how Jesus moved. He didn't just move just at any time. What did he tell Martha? He said, yeah, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, you missed the timing. He said, oh, no. Happened. So that the glory of God could be shown. There is timing that God controls the timing, believe you me. We done said it a million times. He may not come when you want him, but he's always what? He's always right on time. Now, when the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and they cried out, and they said with trouble, saying, it's a ghost. Here we are, in the fourth watch. Understand this. This is a type of theophany when his disciples see him, and they see what appears to them to be a ghost. Because the disciples, let me tell you, hear me, everybody. The disciples are really not tripping because of the storm. They're really not tripping because of the storm. The storm is causing some resistance, but skilled fishermen have been through a storm before. Okay, transfer that. Bring that to the church so everybody can get this. Skilled fishermen have been through a storm before. Okay, seasoned saints have been through a storm before. Oh, my. Seasoned saints have been through a storm. Stand up, Janice. Seasoned saints have been through, stand up, Val. Seasoned saints have been through a storm before. Yeah, I've been through a storm before. I know what it's like to go through a storm. What we have to identify with each other is to say, listen, I know what it's like to go through a storm, but I made it through the storm. We got to speak to one another more about, listen, I know you're in a storm right now, but God is more than able to bring you through the storm. They wasn't tripping about the winds and the waves. They were fine with that. Oh, no. We're going to be okay. Believe you me, if some of the disciples on the boat were not familiar, I do believe that those four were like, no, it's going to be okay. I know the winds are going crazy. The water's banging up against the ship. And you all know this is back in that day, so this boat wasn't but yay big. right? It wasn't but yay big. They're about halfway to the destination. The thing about it is that the storm had been so fierce, it had threw the timing off. Oh, man, there's a lot more there than what you think. It had thrown the timing off. I'm not saying, listen, they didn't have wristwatches or anything like that, but these men were skilled enough to know how much time it takes to get from point A to point B. And the fact that they didn't get to point A and point B in time enough, it threw everything off. And they're like, what in the world? Here it is, this storm is going on. And then what happens is that they see what seems to be a ghost walking on the water. So it wasn't the storm that messed them up. It was the fact that they saw somebody walking on water. And they look out and they're crying. And they cry. They say, here it is. It's a ghost. Oh, I got to go back. Oh, I got to go back. I got to go back because there's a build. Watch this. There's a build in verse 25 of Matthew 14 that David speaks about in Psalm 77 and 19. I got to give you this. In Psalm 77 and 19, watch this, NLT version. The Bible says, your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. Oh, my God. Your road leads through the sea. So what are you saying, Pastor? There's not a believer in here that's going to be able to get to their destination without going through a storm. Okay, let me talk to somebody else over here. There's not a believer in here that will be able to get to your destination without going through a storm. Because David told us clearly, your road leads through the water. It leads through the storm. Is that good, everybody? But immediately Jesus spoke to him, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. That is very familiar to you, I'm sure to some of you, because that really is that's an Old Testament speak that Jesus is saying when he said, when Moses asked him, well, who should I tell sent me? And Moses, and the Lord tells Moses what? He says, tell him what? Tell him I am. And Jesus says, it is I. What? Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if, that's big. Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you, what? On the water. If it's you. Now, I like if. Now, if isn't the fact that Peter was doubting Jesus. When Peter said, Lord, if it's you, Peter is saying, exercise your authority. Lord, if it's you, exercise the authority of who you are and bid me to come, King James says, not just come to you, but I want to come to you walking on. Do y'all know how powerful this is? Everybody was blown away that it was even somebody on the water who they initially thought was a ghost. They yell out, Jesus, in the fourth watch of the night, says, it is I, don't be afraid. Everybody is on the boat. Everybody's eyes got to be bug-eyed. Everybody got to be looking like, you have got to be kidding me that this figure on this boat is our Jesus. This is our Jesus who, by the way, everybody was away praying while we were on the boat. So here it is. Peter sees him, and Peter, because y'all know Peter's radical. Everybody need a radical. You need a radical somebody in your crew. Peter is just radical. Y'all know he was cutting off ears. Peter was cussing people out. He was. Y'all know that. When he denied Jesus, the Bible says he actually cussed. I do not know the man. That's what he said. So Peter was so radical, and Peter says, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come walking on the water. And of course, here it is. Jesus tells Peter, come, but I want to go back because I want to tell you who Peter didn't talk to before he hit the water. What I want to tell you is that Peter didn't have any conversations with the disciples before he hit the water. Why is that so important? Because when you're about to do something miraculous and nobody with you has ever done what you're about to do, that's not the time to be asking people for their opinion. Oh, my God. Speaking bigger, Pastor, Well, when you see Jesus, it's time to get out the boat. Oh, my God. Some of y'all missing that. When I see Peter sees Jesus, he said, Jesus telling me to come. It's time for me to get out the boat. I know, I'm telling you, I'm convinced in my heart of hearts. If Peter would have had a conversation with one of those guys on that boat, he would have messed around and got talked out of that miracle. You say, well, Pastor, yeah, but he took his eyes off the wind and he sunk. Yeah, but he did something the other 11 didn't do. He got out the boat. He walked on water. Bring that home, Pastor. Well, listen, you know what? I know, so maybe I did fail at that. Maybe I did mess up at that, but at least I got out the boat. Oh, my God. See, I'm not going to live my life afraid to make decisions because I think I'm going to fall on my face. I'm not gonna play it safe any longer. I'm going to get out this boat. Getting out the boat says I'm no longer going to play it safe. Well, you're not qualified for that job. I don't care. I'm just believing God. God may show favor on me. I don't know. I know I don't have the necessary qualifications, but I'm gonna put in for it anyway. That's the kind of stuff God does. God will qualify you when you unqualified. God will call you out of places that you know you are not qualified for. There's no way I would be doing this if I had to have the certain degrees. I got a college degree, but I didn't go to Bible school or anything like that. That wasn't something my pastor asked me. Do you got your theology? No, I don't. No. It's like, no. Okay, God is calling you. God's going to equip you. God will give you what you need. If you will submit to God. Listen, now, I with everything in me, I've talked about, I plan on getting my seminary degree. I'm all for Bible school, all for it, 110% for it. But what I'm saying is that God can do things in your life even when you're not qualified for them. Ooh, my goodness. Does anybody receive that in this place today? Command me to come to you walking on water. I want you to write this down. This storm does not have the upper hand. Ooh, Jesus. I want you to write that down. This storm I'm in does not have the upper hand. Words build worlds. I got to give you something. Words build worlds. Whatever you put out there, that's building a world right now. So you got to make sure you're speaking positivity. You're speaking life. You're speaking destiny. You're speaking purpose. Watch what Job 22 and 28 tells us. He says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. Verse 29. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out the boat, he walked on the water. Remember, we just talked about that. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, what? Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, there's something deep there because it's really where we get the Greek word oligopistos, the Greek word which means short-sighted. And the Lord is telling Peter, he said, why were you so short-sighted? Why did you limit me? Oh, my goodness. Are y'all kidding this morning? Why did you limit me? We all fall into those traps oftentimes where we limit the ability of God to do exactly what he said he would. And there is no question, it has happened in each of our lives, those of us who have lived a life before the Lord, it has happened in your life where you fell apart because you took your eyes off Jesus. But what you've got to make a determination in your life to do is to say, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Not only am I going to keep my eyes on Jesus, I am going to get out of my comfort zone and I am going to get out the boat. I'm going to get out this boat. I'm going to get out this boat of confusion. I'm going to get out this boat of persecution. I'm going to get out this boat of envy. You got to get out that boat. Because a lot of stuff that gets on you, it gets on you because sometimes it's some of the people that you're around. my goodness. They're speaking negative. They're speaking death when they should be speaking life. And when they got into the boat, what happened? The wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and did what? They worshiped him, saying what? Truly, thou art the Son of God. Truly, thou art the Son of God. Is there anybody who's gotten out the boat and seen God do the miraculous in their life? I told. Listen, this bears repeating. Understand something. Even for the pastor that's standing before you, I had to get out the boat. I had to get out the boat. I mean, I was in a place of comfort, no question. I was at a place and season, even spiritually, where I thought I was in a place of comfort, and all of a sudden, God began to shake, kind of like shake and move things in my life. And I remember going to my wife, and I just said, "Listen, here's what I believe God is saying. I believe God is saying this." Just before we got to victory, I said, "Man, I just believe God is just saying something different in our lives, and I don't know what God is up to, but we just need to obey God." And so my wife said, "Well, you know, I'm with you. Okay, honey." Now, I didn't realize it. I see it now here in 2020. I was getting out the boat. I was just getting out the boat. I was just comfortable. I felt like I was comfortable. I felt like, man, I know God's got more for me spiritually. And I was in a good house, no question about it. But I just felt like, man, I think God's up to something. I think we just need to get out the boat. And here it is. So we get out the boat and we come to victory. We come to victory December 31st of 2004. We came to a New Year's Eve service. Never forget that. We walk in, we enjoy the service, this, that, and the other. We're like, okay. Because I knew my pastor because he lived in my neighborhood, this, that, and the other. And so, you know, I knew he was a nice guy, this, that, and the other. He's like, just come and heal. Just come and rest for a season, this, that, and the other. And before you know it, we get into January 2005, and then something begins to open up. It's like the heavens begin to open up. And God is literally saying, like, welcome home. This is where you're supposed to be in the season of your life. And understand something, that was such a radical move for my wife and I, especially with the fact that I had never had a white pastor. I never had a white pastor. And so there was a lot of criticism that came my way. How you gonna go over there with that white man? How you gonna go over there with that white man and you gonna have a white pastor? Now I'm like, I'm just following what God is saying. I mean, God didn't say go to him because he's white. Come on, you all. God just said, I got something over there for you, and I just need you to go. But what happened, everybody? I had to get out the boat. But hear me when I say this. And my wife would verify this. Matter of fact, come on up, honey. My wife would verify this. When we made that decision in our lives, we had some dear people around us, this, that, and the other. We didn't have no conversations with nobody. We didn't. We didn't have no conversations. Why? Because I didn't want to be talked out of it. I didn't want to. We didn't tell nobody. We didn't. You said, Pastor, that was mean. No, it wasn't. No, it was not. No, why? Because as for me and my house, you can't tell me. Listen. I'm too grown. You can't tell me what I'm supposed to do for my life. This is my life. I got to make the best decision for my family. No. Did I see this? Are you serious? No way. I was just coming to rest. But God, everybody. If you are willing to get out the boat, there's some miracles on the other side that you cannot see in your life right now that God will unveil to you. But guess what? You got to get out that boat early, though. You got to get out of the place of comfort and get in that boat. Somebody give God some praise. I need something prophetic. Give me something prophetic. Come on, somebody give God some praise in this place. Give me something more warfare, Stevie. Give me something more warfare. I'm probably going to name one of your hang-ups. There's a number of things that God gave me. I'm probably going to name them here when I list them down here, because the Lord gave me this. I was preparing this message. I want you to get out of the boat of abandonment. Get out of the boat of anger. Get out of the boat of manipulation and disappointment. addiction, self-hate, and self-hurt, shame, secret sin, rebellion, financial calamity, mental inhibition, religion. Get out of the boat of religion. Get out of the boat of relational stress. Ooh. Get out of the boat of fear and deception. You got to get out of that boat. And you got to get yourself. You got to make a decision to say, you know what? Enough is enough. Stop blaming everybody else for the fact that you keep toiling in the same situation. It's your responsibility. Listen, you would love, there are seasons in your life, you know, you would love for people to drag you out the boat. But there's some season in your life, no, ain't nobody gonna drag you out the boat. You know what? If you wanna stay messed up about what happened to you when you was 10, you can. But I got some new, you 35 now. You need to forgive them and move on. I know I'm hitting something this morning. Come on and stand at your feet. We're going to do something together. We're going to do something that's very strategic spiritually. It's very strategic spiritually. We're going to get out of this mental place. We're going to break this thing. In the name of Jesus, we're going to break this. And really, in our America, in the America that we live in, this is what we got to break. Because America, and this, believe me, this is the greatest country on the world, in the world, no. But America has failed to live up to its decrees. It's failed. Freedom for all. Rights for everybody. Equality. Unity. Every man being judged by the purpose and the premise of what he is in the earth. America has failed up to live to that. It's failed to live up to that. Therefore, we are dealing with what we are dealing with. You're going to do it peacefully. Do it peacefully. But spiritually, there's a strategy happening in the earth. And I believe that we've got to use what I said in the beginning of the message. We've got to use this edge that God has given us. So I want us to do this together. Matter of fact, if you can back up, just back up to the edge of your chair. We got our chairs at least 6 feet apart so you can have room. That's it right there. Just back up to the edge of your chair. Now only do this if you feel spiritually this is what God is commanding you to do. We're going to all get out the boat together. Come on, honey. If you're with family, you certainly can grab a hold of your family and do it together. If you got family with you, grab a hold of your family together. We're going to step out this boat together. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? We're going to step out of the boat. Somebody say, get out the boat. Somebody say, I'm ready to get out the boat. I'm getting out the boat of comfort. I'm getting out the boat of anger. I'm getting out the boat of deception. I'm getting out the boat of fear. Come on my 3, 2, 1. We're going to step out the boat on my 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. Take a big step. Take a big step. Take a big step. Take a big step together. Come on, this is a spiritual. This is a spiritual act. Come on, if you still got room, I want you to take a step with the other foot on my 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. Take a step. And feel your freedom. Get out that boat. Feel your freedom. Honey, grab your mic real quick. Grab your mic. If I was really ministering to you right now and you need to get out the boat, you know who you are. I want you to lift two hands up. My wife's going to minister to you right where you are. Right where you are, we're not going to have a physical altar call up here. But right where you are, we're going to be able to minister to you, honey.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today, for you are God. Lord God, you are God. And Father, we come out of agreement with the things that are weighing us down, that yes, is God. Keeping us in the boat. We just decree and declare yes, that God. We come out of agreement with it right now. And Father, we step out of the boat.
Yes,
we step out of our comfort zone. We step out from Jesus. What is familiar to us, oh God. And we come walking on the water towards you in the name of Jesus. And yes, Father, God. As we step out of the boat, we step into opportunity. We step into favor. We step into blessing. healing. We step into healing. We step into deliverance in the name of Jesus. We step, oh God, to the next level, to the next season. We step into the next dimension that you are calling us to. We step in, oh God, in what you have called us to and what you have destined us to be. We step in and we break out of every limitation. There is no limitations on our life. We step out of it. We step out and we break glass ceilings in the name of Jesus. We come walking unto you, Jesus. We come walking and we come with our focus on you in the name of Jesus.
Man, okay.
Hallelujah.
That's so good, honey. That's so good. I just heard Holy Spirit. I want you to position yourself right back to where you were before you took that step. I just heard Holy Spirit. Now I want you. I can't do this for you. You have to do this on your own. But I want you to get in your mind what you're stepping into. Because not only are you stepping out of Holy Spirit's life, not only are you stepping out of something, you are stepping into. It's not just about what you're stepping out of.
Right.
What are you stepping into? And I want you to get in your heart and in your spirit what it is that God would have you to step into right now. And we're going to step into it right now. We're going to believe God for it. Listen, if you need to step into tremendous favor, if you need to step into breakthrough, if you need to step into promotion, if you need to step into healing, if you need to step into declaration, if you need to step into security, you need to step into that. Come on, let's do that together. Come on, 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. Step into it. Come on, believe God for it right now. Believe God for it. Believe God. Celebrate God right now. Celebrate God. Come on, celebrate. Come on, somebody say, I receive it. Come on, say, I receive it. Lift your hands all over the building. Father God, if there's a son or daughter right now that needs to repent, if there's a son or daughter that needs to repent, Lord God, they've been out of place with you. They've been out of place with you. Father God, I want you to speak to their heart right now, right where they stand. Speak to their heart. Speak to their heart, Lord God. If they're not in a good place with you, if they're not in a good place, Lord God, begin to speak to their heart right now. Give them an opportunity, Lord God. As your word speaks, give them an opportunity to come back to you right now. They've been out of place. They've not been walking before you. They've gone through trials and tribulations, which have thrown them off course. Give them the opportunity right now to give their heart back to you in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Take that time right now. Take that time right now. I can't do it for you. The Bible says if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth right now. You've been out of place. You need to repent. Things out of order in your life. Do that right now. Yes, God. Father, we thank you for your word and for your way today. We thank you for the breakthrough that we are claiming and making declarations for right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's put our hands together and give God some beautiful praise here this morning. Find two people and tell them I'm out of there. Listen, I want to speak the blessing over you right now. It's time to speak the blessing. Remember again, this Wednesday, no virtual online Bible study. I'll be with the young people, with the masses there on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Make sure you bring your young people out. Series next Sunday, going to the 4th of July weekend, as some people are doing right now, your offering envelopes. Again, as a reminder, there's a box under the clock. You can put your offering right there under the clock. Just so you know, you will be dismissed back to the front. Okay? Back to the front. So please don't just skedaddle out from wherever you are. They'll dismiss you very briskly, but it'll be from the back to the front. My wife aren't doing a usual greeting line, but we're not going nowhere. So we'll be standing right up here. You want to say hi? Some of y'all we haven't seen in quite some time. We would love to just say hi to you, all right? Congratulations again to all of our graduates, amen. They all stepped out the boat. Listen, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key that's God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season of your life. Somebody say, it's my best. We bless you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially. We bless you financially. We tell you each and every week, God's given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can. Along the way, we're going to be excited. We're going to be energetic. It's the way God put us together. Amen? The way he put it together. And along the way, we're going to be so excited, it's going to overflow. And it's going to cause us to do what? Give it away. Give it away to somebody if they're family. Love on them. If they're not family, hug them from afar. Listen, we love you all. God bless you. Have an outstanding week. God bless you. Again, back to front dismissal. God bless you all. Have a great week.